I did some other things that I should have did, and they were good. And I realized if it hadn't been for God with me, I wouldn't have made it through. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, he said God provided a way. God provided an understanding. God provided a path. Your Bible said that he'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need to understand a good man understands that God is a provider. He don't look to other people. He said, God, it's me and you. The Lord will provide. Come here, Abraham. The Bible said that Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. His son said, Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood, but I don't see the sacrifice. Abraham said, the Lord will provide. I wish I had somebody here. And then he came off that mountain calling him Jehovah Jireh. You see, a good man understands who Jehovah Jireh is. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh will provide when you need it. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh, that whenever you need the money, when your money is funny and your change is strange, that God will be with you to help you through it all. I'm not telling you that your pockets are going to be full all the time, but what I'm telling you is that if your heart is full of love and you're full of the Holy Ghost, then God will show you a way. He said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for him, but it's been revealed by his Spirit. Come on and say amen. God will provide. God has good plans for us. It pleases him to give us the kingdom. But not only will God provide for the good man, but the Bible said that God will provide for his children. He said, I have been young, and now I am old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken. I haven't experienced God's leaving me. I haven't experienced God letting me down. I haven't experienced God disappointing me. He said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. In other words, the seed, the children of the good men, the children of a good man don't have to beg, because God not only gives to the man, but he gives to the man's seed. And that's why I'm here to let you know that I'm not going to be like everybody else and say good men finish last. The Bible said that the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And so I'm doing good, and I might not ever reap the benefit, but I'm looking out for my children. Every seed I sow, I might not get back a harvest, but I know my children will get it. Come on and shout yes. A good man can buy a field. A good man can plant a seed, but the harvest may go to his children. And all I'm trying to say today is stop being so selfish and start looking at the greater good. Start looking at it and realizing that the things I'm doing today is not really for me, but it's for my children and my children's children. Do you know that God will bless all generations because you are a good man? That's why he kept reminding them, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I wish I had somebody here that realized that he is our father's God. And I thank God for my grandfather. I thank God for my grandmothers who thought enough of me that they would help people in the community, because one of these days, who knows what I'm going to need? Who knows what helping hand I'm going to need? But I'm so glad that the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Do you know who the greatest man is? I'm talking about somebody now who's not just a good man, but he was a great man. He came through 39 prophets and 40 in two generations. He took up an old rugged cross. He said that I lay my life down. No man take my life, but I lay it down for my friends. He said, greater love had no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. I wish I had somebody. They called him good master. He said, ain't nobody good but God. Come on and shout yes here. But when I think about this good man, he took my sin and yours, went up on a rugged cross. They put nails in his hands and feet, but they forgot what the good man said. He said, if I be lifted up, a good man can draw people. I wish I had somebody. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. A good man was so good that he looked down from the cross and saw his mother crying, but he didn't leave his mama by herself. He told John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. I wish I had somebody. See, a good man takes care of the family while he does the will of God. I wish I had somebody. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sound like a good man. A good man told another man who had been a bad man. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. See, a good man is not a selfish man. Come on and shout yes here. But let me tell you about this good man. This good man died. He died. He gave up the ghost so that I can live. Do I have any witness? But the Bible said he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But let me tell you about death. See, if a good man, death can't hold a good man. The grave can't hold a good man. Because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Do I have a witness here? Do anybody know him? Do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. Somebody say yes. I'm talking about Jesus. My grandmother's lily of the valley. My grandfather's bright morning star. I'm talking about Jesus. Abel's vindicator. Moses' burning bush. Come on and shout yes. Samson's bomb. Solomon's wisdom. Do I have anybody? Come on and say yes. He was Jeremiah's fire. Shut up in his bones. Ezekiel's wheel. In the middle of the wheel. Come on and shout yes. He was David's battle axe in the time of the battle. Say yes, but he's my Savior. He's your Redeemer. And if like Job, I know my Redeemer lives. Somebody say yes. If you're redeemed of the Lord, you ought to say so. I wish I had some people that say I'm redeemed. And I'm so glad that he justified me. That makes me good. It's not what I did, but it's what God did that makes me good. I'm good because God is all good. The word good is a derivative from God. In other words, I'm a godly man. Even though I make some mistakes, but I still look to God. I may have some faults, but I still look to God. I may have some failures, but I still look to God. Do I have anybody here that say, I look to God for all my problems? I look to God for all my troubles. I still look to God. I look to the hills, for whence cometh my help. For my help come from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Won't God help you? Won't God change you? Won't God fix you? Won't God forgive you? Won't God make you whole? Won't God straighten your life? Won't God keep your children? Won't he? Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? Well, shout yeah. Shout yeah. Shout yeah. I know he's all right. I say, is he all right? If you know he's all right, come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not be so good, but I know somebody who is. And I may not know three things. I may not know two things. And one thing I know, I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Hallelujah. I know he's all right. Thank you, Jesus. A good man. I feel good.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, You can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message. Amen. Look at this one, Luke 2:40. Even as a child, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Hallelujah. So you see here that even as a child, as he grew, the Bible said Jesus was full of wisdom. Hallelujah. That means that Jesus never encountered a situation or a circumstance that he didn't know the will of God. He always knew. He always knew what to do. When they took that woman in adultery, they took her, caught her in the act, threw her down at his feet and say, our law says, they threw the word on him. They put the word on Jesus. The law say, Moses say she should be stoned. What do you say? And I'm going to tell you, the wisdom of God kicked in. Start writing on the ground. And then he said this, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Boy, that was the wisdom of God. And all them people that was holding the rock, holding the stone, the Bible said from the oldest one down to the youngest one, had to drop their rock and had to back up. They had to get out of the way. That's the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Remember when they were crossing the sea and the storm came up and the boats being tossed to and fro and Jesus back there asleep? And they have used all of their human wisdom. They done dipped water out the boat. They done changed the sails. I mean, they done tried to get with the wind. They done everything they know to do. Finally, they done run out of options. They ain't got no more wisdom. Jesus! They did have enough sense to call on him, though. I give them credit. When your boat full of water and you about to sink, you better know you can call on the Lord. They woke him up. And he looked at them and said, where's your faith? Peace be still. And then the Bible said there was a great calm that came. And then they backed up and say, what kind of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Why? He had the wisdom of God. He knew just what to do. He didn't say, wait a minute, y'all, let's pray. See, if I'd have been on the boat, I'd say, y'all, let's pray. I'd have said, hey, let's pray. Pray, pray, pray. Everybody pray. Pray or die. Pray. Jesus had the wisdom to say, peace be still. Shut up out there. Get quiet. Still now. What kind of man is this? That's what they ought to be saying about you at work. What kind of woman is this? What kind of man is this? Know what to do in every situation. Why? Full of the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit of God, doing things that don't look like going to work, but going to work. Because the Holy Ghost told you to do it this way. And you got that wisdom. The wisdom is in the obedience. Hallelujah. You say, yeah, but that was Jesus. You know, somebody going to always say, yeah, but that was Jesus. Then they don't even say his name right. That was Jesus. You know when they say that, they always say, yeah, but that was Jesus. You ain't him. Yeah, but he in me. I got him right here. His body's his temple. Oh, the same Jesus that walked the shore of the Galilee. Take a step every time I take one. Hallelujah. Oh, I got him on the inside. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm supposed to know I'm a son of God. What I don't know, I commit to him. Hallelujah. And what I need to know, the Holy Ghost is going to download it. You know how sometimes you don't know what to do, you're trying to figure it out, then all of a sudden it's like somebody flip a switch. Oh, me and Cece, we was praying about a decision, a financial decision we had to make. I mean, I wrestle about that thing over and over. I get all, you know, I'm a fact person. I get all the facts together. And I'm trying to figure it out with all the facts. But, you know, there's a fact in here that I can't figure out is the future. I didn't know what the future holds. I know what these numbers saying now, but I don't know what they're going to say 3 years from now. So I say, Cece, this is what we're supposed to do. And I'd explain it to her. I say, this is why we ought to do this here. We don't need to do this right here because if we do this, this is going to happen. But if we do this, this could happen right here. She said, okay, this sounds good to me. Then I say, yeah. But if I do that, this here could go wrong, though. And then I'd start figuring again. Then I'd come to it with a different thing. No, Cece, we ain't do that there. Because if we do that, this could happen. Let's do this right here. And then I'd convince her. She said, okay, that sounds good to me. Let's do that. And then I'd think about it a little more and I'd say, yeah, but if I do that, if I do that, if I do that, this here could happen. And then I'd go and I'd find something and I'd say, no, we can't do that because of this here. And then one day, this went on and on for, I don't know, a week or so. Finally, she said, listen, I just wish you'd make up your mind and just do something. I frustrated her. I realized when I first got saved, I had a problem with double-mindedness. I had two minds. I just had, you know, I just examine stuff too much sometimes. So what I did, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know the future. So what I did, I got me an index card and put me 5 guiding scriptures on it that I could take around, put in my shirt pocket, and carry to work with me. And while I was sitting at a traffic light, I had one on my sun visor. I'd flip it down, and while I'm waiting on the light to change, I'd just start thanking God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm a son of God. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. He will show me the path of life. Hallelujah. I'm quoting all these scriptures about guidance in the Bible. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads and guides me in green pastures. Hallelujah. So I just started doing that. I did that for a day or two. And then I remember one day I got to work and I put my sun visor up and boy, I done changed mine. My mind has switched. I'm a workman now. I mean, my mind on my job. I walked in the office and when I sat down in my chair, it's like somebody flipped the switch and said, do this right here. And it all made sense. I said, yeah, that's the answer. I said, why didn't I think of that? That was so simple. Lord, how come I didn't think of that? Well, it's pretty easy to know why I didn't think about it. I ain't him. So I got all excited about it. I said, that's what we're supposed to do. That's it. That's the answer. I wasn't even praying about it then. The answer just came. So I picked up the phone. I called Cece. I said, look, I know what to do. I said, look what the Lord showed me this morning. And I explained it to her. She said, that's right. That's God. That's God. That's it. And I said, we got the answer. Glory to God. I said, we're going to go ahead and get it done. And then I thought, I said, yeah, but if I do that, then this. She said, didn't God just tell you stop all that? Because the anxiety of it was coming back on me again when I got back in the natural. And I said, oh, that's right, that's right. Oh, so Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I'm sorry, I ain't going to do that. I said, we're going to do this right here. And my peace came back. Amen. And we made the right decision. Amen. It's the wisdom of God. You have the wisdom of God in you. Because the Bible says that Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. He is your wisdom. So if he's your wisdom, you can walk in the wisdom. When you start walking in wisdom, you're walking just like he walked. Let me give you some other scriptures here. Look at what Jesus said in the last days is going to happen. He said, look, when you brought before people and people want to examine you, he said, don't think ahead of time what you're going to say. Listen to what he says right here. In Luke chapter 21, verse 15, he says, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." That's the same thing that happened to Stephen when he was being stoned. The Bible said that he spoke with such wisdom that they were not able to resist the wisdom by which he spoke. Why? Because they had put him under a severe trial. And he didn't have to think ahead of time what he was going to say. God gave it to him at that hour. And the Bible says they couldn't resist the wisdom by which he spoke. That wisdom is in you. You have access to it. See, you're an heir of God, right? So if God have wisdom, guess what? You have a part in that. There's some wisdom you're supposed to be walking in. Because you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. If Jesus have wisdom, then you're supposed to have some too. Don't live without wisdom. Walk just like he walked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 6:3, when they got ready to pick some deacons in the church, it said this here. This was the criteria. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So wisdom must be something that you can see and discern. Notice here, they're full of the Holy Ghost. There's another one of those characteristics. So they're walking just like Jesus walked. They have honest report. They're walking in integrity. That's the way Jesus walked. They're walking just like Jesus walked, and the people that were around them noticed them, that there was something special about those seven. They said, "These are men of integrity. They walk just like Jesus. They're full of the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus, and they have wisdom that they can handle this business." Hallelujah. Glory to God. How did Jesus walk? He walked in wisdom. He had the wisdom of God. And then the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, say, if any of you lack wisdom, do what? Ask of God, who does what? Who gives to all men how? So if you ask for wisdom, he's going to give it to you. He's generous. He's just waiting to give it. He got a load of wisdom waiting on you right now. God done already decided how much wisdom you need, and he's going to give you more than you need. He's ready to pour it on you right now. Let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. He said, look, I'll give it to you. I ain't going to hold it back from you. He said, and he upbraided not. That means he ain't going to fuss at you. Amen. See, some people won't ask because they're scared God going to fuss. You know, we learned that natural thing, you know. You know, like my daddy, we knew when to ask and when not. You know, if daddy was happy, we said, now it's time to get some money to go to the store. But if he's sitting in the chair with his arm crossed and his lip poked out, that's the wrong time to ask him for some money. Kids learn all that stuff. And then we try to apply that to God. We try to determine what God's mood is before we ask. Don't we? Don't we try to gauge God's mood? Did I do right yesterday? If I ain't did right yesterday, God probably mad. I ain't asked for nothing today. I've been in no disobedience. I ain't asking for nothing today. I know God got to be mad. I can't go to him asking for nothing. See, we don't learn that natural stuff. When the Bible says you're to come boldly to the throne of grace because you're his child. You have a right to be there. Amen. Hallelujah. But then the Bible said, but let him ask how? In faith, nothing doubting. See, you can't come doubting. See, in other words, if you come and you're not believing God's going to give it to you, you disappoint him. Because that's saying that he's not going, you know, that he is the kind of person that might withhold. And God is most generous, full of grace, the Bible says. Jesus, full of grace and mercy, full of grace and truth. Amen? So what God is saying, look, don't come to me poor mouth. Like you got to talk me into giving you this. Y'all know what poor mouth is, huh? You know, Lord, you ought to help me because I'm having a hard time down here. I'm having a hard time. Lord, you see the trouble. You see the trouble. I'm coming up the rough side. I'm coming up the rough side today, Lord. So it's on the rough side. You need to help me because I just don't know what I'm going to do if you don't come through for me. Please, sir, have mercy. Please. Then start calling your father, sir. I ain't never called my daddy, sir. I might say, yes, sir. But I don't walk to my dad and say, sir. Oh, I need some help. I come to get it because I know you supply all my need. Hey, I need some wisdom right now. I come to get it. Thank you. It's mine for the asking. I need wisdom to deal with this situation. That's why I messed up yesterday, because I didn't have no wisdom on this thing. If I'd have had some wisdom, I wouldn't have made that stupid choice. Go ahead and give me what I need so I can please you. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Hallelujah. How did Jesus walk? He walked in wisdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what he did. Third one that I'm going to give you. We're going to shut down right here. How else did Jesus walk? Y'all ought to shout on this one here. He walked in divine favor. Hallelujah. He had the favor of God on him. How did Jesus walk? He walked in divine favor. Favor is the grace of God. And I found something else this evening about the scripture. You know the scripture says, come boldly to the throne of what?
Grace.
You could say the throne of favor. And not do it no disjustice. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find what?
Grace
to help. And when? Time of need. So when I have a time of need, that's my time to go to the throne. See, most people, when they have a time of need, they run from God. They start looking for human solutions. The wisdom of God say, all right, you got a need, go to God. He the source. Notice here that you need mercy with God, but the favor and the grace that you receive, that means that God will put favor on you so that there are people on in the earth realm that will come and help meet that need that you have. Mercy for your relationship with God, grace for your relationship with people. Hallelujah. It all comes from God. All right, let me give you scripture. I'm going to show you Jesus having a favor on him. All right? He has such favor on him. All right? Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So actually, favor can increase in your life. Bible says Jesus increased in it. That means he had some favor in him, but he kept growing in favor. You know, anytime Jesus needed something, he had the favor of God working in him. You know, that little boy that had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, what was the other way around? Did I say it right? 5 loaves and 2 fish. All right. When Jesus said, ask the little fellow for his lunch. That little boy didn't fight and wrestle with Jesus. Talking about this my mama stuff. This my mama lunch. What we going to eat if I give this to you? This all we got. You know what? There's such favor on Jesus that when he asked for it, the fellow said, sure, you can have it. Then guess what Jesus did? Used it and then picked up 12 baskets for it. And guess who got it? I know the little boy got his share to go home with it. You see the favor Jesus had on whatever he needed. When he's getting ready to go to the cross, he said, look, y'all come here. I got something you need to do. I need you to go get me a donkey from over yonder. If anybody asks you what you're doing, just tell them the Lord have need of it. Bible said they went and did exactly what Jesus told them. Hey, what y'all doing with that donkey out there? The Lord have need of him. Oh, okay, go on about your business. Go on about your business. Why? He had such favor on him. Favor just worked in every realm. When he needed to pay his taxes, he said, Peter, me and you need to keep peace around here, so why don't you go fishing? First fish you catch is going to have a coin in his mouth, but it'll be so valuable that it'll pay your taxes and mine. That's a favor of God. How many, you say, I don't believe that's a favor. How many fish you caught had money in their mouth? It's got to be something. And he didn't have a penny in his mouth either, because you'd have threw that back in there. You know some of y'all, he got a penny in his mouth. We don't need that. You'd have flicked that in the water. No, this coin was valuable. Man, look what I got. Look at this here. This is going to pay for me and Jesus. I bet you they had money left over.